Imagine for a second that you ask an artificial intelligence a really, really complex question.
A question that usually requires, a ton of processing.
Exactly. But instead of the system generating a response for you word by word, line by line, it just instantly freezes. It creates this glowing geometric map containing every possible correct answer in the universe all at once.
It doesn't even choose a path. It just holds every single valid path in this state of absolute mathematical stasis.
Right, and that staggering premise is exactly what a newly uncovered AI research paper dated May 20th, 2026 claims to have achieved.
It really is a complete structural teardown of everything we thought we knew about computational semantics. The paper is titled The Semantic Cavity.
And to really grasp the magnitude of what these researchers have built, we need to take you on a chronological journey today.
Yeah, to understand where this is going, we first have to look at where we've been.
Right. So the mission for this deep dive is to trace that timeline. We're going to compare the strict linear AI architectures that we rely on right now with this radical new wave field-based calculation method.
Because, mathematically, this new framework proves an AI can generate over 90% of all possible solutions simultaneously. It just completely bypasses the sequential process.
Which is wild. I mean, if you use AI a lot, you know the frustration of getting one single narrow answer to a complex prompt.
Oh, absolutely.
But to start our timeline, we have to look at the historical bottleneck. The researchers actually call it the autoregressive deadlock.
Yeah, the autoregressive deadlock. That is basically the defining characteristic of classical large language
The
models.
ones we use every day.
Right. At a foundational level, traditional LLMs compute text autoregressively. They operate on this very strict linear temporal timeline.
Meaning they just move forward in time, step by step.
Exactly. The system calculates the probability of the next discrete token. So it steps from token T sub I to token T sub I plus one. And it just does that over and over again.
It reminds me of someone painstakingly typing on a smartphone using only the predictive text, just tapping next word, next word, next word.
That is a great analogy. It's a slow, sequential crawl.
But if that works, I mean, if it generates good text, why do they consider it a deadlock?
Well, there were two main reasons. First, generating text linearly is inherently an O of N computational problem. It scales terribly.
Because if you need a 10,000-word document, the architecture has to execute that sequential pass 10,000 individual times.
Exactly. But the O of N issue is really just a symptom. The actual deadlock happens when you give the AI a prompt with high abstract variance.
What does that mean exactly? Like a complicated prompt?
Yeah, prompts loaded with multi-layered constraints or lateral thinking requirements or just latent ambiguities. When a classical AI processes that, its internal attention matrices suffer from what they call semantic conflict.
Semantic conflict. So the multi-headed attention mechanisms inside the transformer are trying to weigh different concepts against each other.
Right. If your prompt makes the AI balance opposing semantic goals, those attention heads start generating vectors that literally pull in contradictory directions within the latent space.
And I imagine a linear system just can't handle vectors pulling in opposite directions.
It's fatal for them.
Yeah.
The paper actually compares this conflict to the algebraic impossibility condition of the OD complex framework.
Wait, the what?
It's like trying to solve x squared plus 1 equals 0 using only real numbers. You just can't do it. The attention mechanisms hit a mathematical boundary where they cannot resolve the conflicting weights.
Oh, I see. So the generation quality just collapses.
Yeah, when the system is forced to collapse all those competing, totally valid semantic trajectories into one single string of words, it fails.
And the only way around that in a traditional model is basically brute force, right?
Pretty much. If you want the AI to explore the alternate solutions it missed, you have to run entirely separate, independent sequential runs.
You're just running through the maze again and again from the start.
Exactly. Burning massive amounts of compute just to map out the branches you missed the first time.
Which brings us to the next phase in our chronological timeline. The researchers realize that walking down a single branch linearly is the actual problem.
Right, so the only way forward is to completely bypass the path.
They call this the topological leap. They had to lift the whole system off the linear real number line and project it into an orthogonal imaginary axis.
Yes. Instead of treating a prompt as a line of code, they treat it as a physical boundary, a literal geometry.
And they introduced this wild architecture called the toroidal pyramid resonant cavity.
It is a mouthful.
Yeah, it sounds like something out of a sci-fi novel. Let's try to unpack this shape for everyone listening.
Sure, let's start with the base. The base of this cavity is a flat manifold wrapped into a torus.
Basically a donut shape.
Yeah, a mathematical donut. And this torus solves the boundary problem of linear text.
How so?
In this new framework, the entire vocabulary of the AI model is mapped continuously onto the surface of this donut.
So words aren't just isolated points on a straight line anymore.
Right, they become continuous angular positions on a closed three-dimensional loop.
But wait, I have to push back on that a little. A torus is a continuous geometric surface, right?
Yes, exactly.
But human language and AI tokens are fundamentally discrete. I mean, there is no mathematical midpoint between the word matrix and the word cat.
That is a very perceptive point.
So if you map discrete tokens onto a continuous surface and the system slides between two positions, wouldn't it just output total gibberish?
You would think so.
Yeah.
But that is exactly what they solved with something called basins of attraction.
Basins of attraction, like gravity.
Yeah, exactly like gravity.
Yeah.
The surface of the torus isn't perfectly smooth. The specific coordinate points that represent valid tokens act as gravitational wells.
Oh, wow. So if the calculation lands in the continuous space between matrix and cat.
It doesn't try to invent a hybrid nonsense word. The topology literally forces the state to roll down into the nearest valid token coordinate.
That is incredibly elegant. It keeps the continuous math they need for the calculation, but enforces the discrete outputs we need to read the text.
And because it's on a torus, there are no edges. No dead ends.
Right. Like when you hit a period or terminal punctuation, it just loops seamlessly back into the initial context.
Exactly. It's a perpetual coherent feedback loop. The end of a thought stabilizes the beginning of the next.
Okay, so that's the base of our cavity. But it's a toroidal pyramid. So what's at the top?
Suspended directly above the geographic center of that donut base is the imaginary apex.
And the paper says the height of this apex is determined by a scale factor called the prompt intent intensity.
Right. The intent intensity acts as the vertical z-axis, lifting the structure up into the imaginary plane.
Okay, so the prompt literally deforms the walls of this pyramid shape, like electromagnetic deformers.
It creates dents and warps based on the semantic parameters of your input.
But I mean, a shape is just a shape. How does this actually calculate an answer? We have a deformed donut pyramid, but how do we get text out of it?
And this is where we hit the most crucial part of our timeline. This is the shift to wave field-based calculations.
The actual generation method.
Yes. Once the cavity's geometry is locked in by your prompt, the system completely abandons matrix multiplication. It stops trying to predict the next word.
It just gives up on the old way entirely.
Completely. Instead, it treats the cavity as a resonant chamber. It solves the semantic Helmholtz wave equation across the boundaries.
Okay, the semantic Helmholtz wave equation. To help you visualize this, think of standing inside a massive, perfectly shaped cathedral.
A cathedral where the walls are uniquely molded by the exact words of your prompt.
Right. In a traditional AI, you're sitting in a pew trying to write sheet music note by note. But here you don't write anything.
You just strike a tuning fork in the dead center of the room.
Exactly. You excite the mathematical vacuum of the cavity.
And because the walls are deformed by your prompt, those waves bounce around. They reflect and interfere with each other.
And the paths that don't make logical sense just cancel each other out, right?
Yes, through destructive interference. But the paths that do make sense, the valid textual completions, they reinforce each other.
They settle into stable, parallel, standing waves simultaneously. It's literally computing the meaning as a physical vibration.
It's beautiful, really.
Yeah.
And there are specific variables tracking all of this.
Let's break those down. What's driving the waves?
The three main ones are the phase angle, the contextual alignment map, and the semantic wave number.
Okay, phase angle.
That tracks the wave's progression around the torus at the base. It essentially traces the sequence of words.
And contextual alignment.
That maps the syntactic relations vertically, just making sure the grammar doesn't fall apart.
Got it. Now, the semantic wave number is super interesting to me because it acts as a direct replacement for the temperature setting in classical LLMs.
Right. In traditional models, if you turn up the temperature, you inject randomness to make it more creative.
But it also makes it hallucinate more. How does the wave number handle that differently?
The semantic wave number acts as an exploratory temperature by altering the frequency constraints of the Helmholtz equation itself.
So a higher wave number means higher frequencies.
Exactly. It allows higher frequency standing waves to form stable resonances. So you get these highly divergent, deeply creative paths surviving without degrading into structural noise.
Because it's bounded by the closed loop of the torus, total probability is conserved. the waves don't disperse into chaos?
They don't. They form perfect parametric helices.
I love that term. Parametric helices, they are literal spirals of meaning, twisting upward from the discrete words on the base all the way to the imaginary apex.
And every single stable spiral, every harmonic vibration that resonates in there, represents one coherent, fully completed answer.
Which is mind-blowing. But here's the most incredible claim from the 2026 paper. They say they can extract over 90% of all high-probability textual completions at the exact same time.
Yes, over 90%.
How does a standing wave turn back into an English sentence on a computer screen?
Through a process called eigenmode decomposition.
Eigenmode decomposition. Okay, break that down for us.
So, in wave physics, an eigenmode is basically a natural pattern of vibration. To extract the text without collapsing the system back into a linear sequence, the architecture solves for the cavity's eigenvalues.
Oh, I see. So it finds infinite concurrent harmonics.
Exactly. And by calculating the first n dominant eigenmodes, the system can isolate the most stable harmonic spirals.
So if you trace the crests of a dominant wave, you're just mapping its maximum amplitudes down to the coordinates on the torus.
Yes. One specific eigenmode maps directly to one complete perfect essay.
And how does it know which one is the best?
It uses Born's network rule. It calculates the likelihood of a specific text being selected by treating the structural weight of each solution as a probability field.
So it computes the entire latent space of your prompt in one sweep, assigning a weight to every valid resonance.
Exactly. It doesn't guess. It knows the global probability.
It's a breathtaking achievement. But looking at the methodology, there's a massive physics dilemma here.
The quantum measurement problem.
Right. If you have all these solutions existing as waves at the same time, quantum mechanics tells us that looking at it forces it to collapse.
The superposition instantly collapses into a single definite state the moment you observe it.
Yeah, so if they try to read the eigenmodes, shouldn't the cathedral go silent? Shouldn't it destroy all the other answers and leave just one?
It should, and that measurement problem was the biggest hurdle the researchers faced. If they read the data normally, it would just revert to a linear choice.
Destroying the whole point of simultaneous processing.
Right. But their solution, the final masterstroke of the paper, is the determinant singularity rule.
The determinant singularity rule. Okay, how does that work?
To read all the waves without triggering a collapse, they had to intentionally break the internal phase transformation matrix.
The matrix responsible for processing time? Wait, how do you break it?
By forcing it to lose rank. They intentionally drive the determinant of the phase transformation matrix to exactly zero.
Okay, let's think about the linear algebra there. When a matrix's determinant hits zero, its geometric volume flattens. The columns become linearly dependent.
Yes, it loses its dimensional freedom entirely.
So what happens to our toroidal pyramid when the determinant crashes to zero?
The whole z-axis, yeah. That imaginary intent height that lets the waves spiral upward over time, it just compresses into a singular hyperdense state.
Oh, wow.
The paper describes it by saying the decisional gravity drops to absolute zero.
Decisional gravity dropping to zero. That is a perfect way to describe it. Mm-hmm. The system's mathematical urge to fall into a single time-directed output is neutralized.
Exactly. By removing the volume of the transformation matrix, they remove the dimension of time from the calculation.
And without time, there's no wave function collapse.
Right. The superposition can't resolve into a single sequence because the mechanism for sequence is just gone.
It achieves absolute stasis.
Yeah. The entire spectrum of possible solutions crystallizes. The dynamic spiraling waves freeze into this vast glowing interference grid directly across the toroidal base layer.
Millions of fully formed answers, logical proofs, creative variations, all existing side by side, permanently suspended.
And you can map and extract any part of that grid without destroying the rest, because the system is mathematically paralyzed in a state of complete knowledge.
That really is the ultimate culmination of our timeline today. We've gone from a classical model that just blindly guesses the next step in a maze to this wave field framework that instantly illuminates the whole labyrinth.
Freezing every single valid path at the same time.
So why does this matter to you, the listener? Well, it transforms AI generation from a slow crawl into an instantaneous flash of resonance.
It means future systems can evaluate the global risk, the deep meaning, and all the extreme variations of any prompt all at once.
No more endless regeneration. You just get the whole universe of answers immediately.
And honestly, it leaves us with a really profound, almost provocative philosophical question to mull over.
What's that?
Well, if an artificial mind can now hold every possible creative divergence and logical conclusion simultaneously in this frozen geometric space,
without having to actually choose just one.
Exactly. What does that mean for our human concept of a single correct answer?
That's a great point. If a machine isn't restricted to linear thinking anymore, it really highlights how much of our own human logic is constrained by sequence and time.
Right. Could human intuition itself be less about linear, step-by-step thinking and more like an instant geometric resonance in our own mental cavities?
Like those rare flashes of insight where you just understand a complex problem from every angle instantly.
Exactly. Maybe our brains are bypassing the linear maze to see the whole shape at once.
That is definitely a thought worth carrying with you today. It completely rewrites the boundaries of how we process meaning. Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration of the semantic cavity, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.